Dankie julle. Ek wil miskien net deel dit wat wat die Here met my oor gepraat het in hierdie tyd en I'm busy reading the Bible from Genesis again and I'm at Exodus 1 and I trusted God to speak through me with the passages that is on my way, not go and look for something else. But, and I must say, first thing is, I don't know why, but it was very tough for me fasting these 3 days. Friday evening, I was sick. And when I got home, I don't know if I'm supposed to make jokes about fasting, but I got home and all the kids were there. They were from the athletics and Alsara was there, she told us no. She ordered for her and the rest of the kids. She worked, so she got pocket money. They ordered for them a nice big pizza. I said, well, thanks for that, eh? And so the pizza arrived, and now the kids were asking us, why are you fasting? And we were talking about it. And so Stoffies was putting a few pieces in his plate, and he was cutting in front of me. But anyway, so we had some fun as well, but it was really tough for me. And I asked God, why is it so tough, eh? And as Lina said, previously God showed me that the same thing is happening to my spirit when I'm staying away from Him than is happening to our bodies when we stay away from food. If we do not take in spiritual food, the same pain our spirit is going through, and we look to many other things to satisfy that uneasiness and hunger in our lives. But it is spiritual hunger. Nothing else except the presence of God can feed that. But this time I asked God, I said, why is it so tough? I was really sick. I wasn't feeling well. And I just tried to read what I wrote down. Marinda was coming at a stage. She said, oh, no, I'm gonna eat now. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I said, well, you're welcome to eat it. I don't think it will really change a lot. You know, it's you're going to miss out a bit, but you're welcome to eat. I'm not going to eat with you, but go on, have the pizza or whatever. And God was talking to me around this thing is obedience. And two things He showed me is the more we indulge into stuff, is indulge the right word? Indulge into stuff that feeds the flesh, the more difficult it becomes to get away from it again. You with me with that? And I've ate a lot of stuff that I usually don't eat in the last week. So I think that's just physically, it was tough for my body to not want a coffee or want rich food or whatever, you know. So the richer we eat or more indulge into food, you know what I'm talking about? The worse it is to stay away from it now. And the same is happening in general life. Is the further we go into stuff that feeds the flesh, that just satisfy our aek, myself, the further we allow it in our own lives, the more difficult it is at the end to stay away from it, to change it again, to stop having it. So that's the one thing He showed me. The second thing He showed me is I believe that the coming year is going to be tough. It's going to be tough to be obedient, and you will have choices to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And it's not about the thing, I think, I don't know who said it. It's not about saying yes for the wrong thing, but it's saying no for the right thing. I'm supposed to go and do that. I know this is actually what I should do. And I'm just shying away from that. I think it's going to be tough in this year. But God has just challenged me through this. Oh, okay, are you going to eat now something? Or are you going to decide to stay away from it? Now I'm going to decide to stay away from it. I want to finish it well. The same thing is going to happen throughout the year. For you to through tough situations, to make the right choices. And then God spoke to me through Exodus 1. And Exodus 1 was when Joseph died and all his family died and a new Pharaoh was coming to Egypt. He knew nothing about them and he made it tough for the Israelites. But I saw so many things through it. And then he brought out this decree to kill all the male babies, all the boys should be killed. And I thought, why the boys? And I was kind of having conversation with God with this, thinking, but why would it be the boys? If it was me, I would just kill all the babies. It's the easiest way to get rid of the numbers, because what bothered Egypt is that they were expanding. They were living throughout the land of Egypt. They were very prosperous. It was going well with them. And God also challenged me with that. As we can say a lot about living in South Africa, and we've got an ungodly government or whatever we want to say about them. And he said, he made them prosperous in Egypt. You can be prosperous here. I can bless you here. And you can have an influence here. You can become strong. We can increase in numbers. I see the Israelites to be people following God in Egypt. And if we look at Witzenberg, we say, it may be tough. It may be tough times. People doesn't want the gospel or whatever excuse we have. But God says he can increase the numbers that is following after the gospel in Witzenberg. Have an expectation for that. Have faith for that. I can do it. Are you with me or not? And God challenged me on that. And then the thing with the boys. Why is he killing the boys? And I just believe, I may be wrong, I believe God was telling me that's the same way Satan is going about at the moment. And that is to demobilize men. The moment he can demobilize men and keep them out of the kingdom, the people following God is in trouble. The Israelites is in trouble when they've got no more boys. There's not a next. There's also this thing. There won't be a generation after 20 years. New men to stand up and continue the Israelites' lineage in Egypt. And the same thing God was talking to me about, that men is under attack. Satan has men under attack. And that's why I think it just fits with everything that God is talking to us about with the Manna group, the Manna coming up, and the word of last year, challenging us as a congregation for fathers and men to stand up, to take their position, and to lead strongly in their houses. And so I think that's what I received from God. And then just a last thing. This morning I had a small biscuit with my coffee, but it was a bad biscuit. But it looked so nice that all, I don't know where Melinda got it. It's I can see it's an expensive biscuit. You know, it's got all the seeds and the stuff in it. I thought, no, this is looking good, eh? And I took it, I dipped it into the coffee. Yo, but it was bad. I don't know whether it was sunlight syrup or mint or something was in that biscuit. And as I ate it, I just believe God showed me the next thing. He says, that biscuit is like the gospel. It has all the ingredients to be very good for those who take it. And the taste of the gospel is love. If we give the gospel to people without love, it is bad for them. They don't want it. The taste of the gospel, how people receive it, how it tastes on their tongue, in their lives, is love. And that's the last thing that God showed me over this period, that that if we do not have love in our hearts, it just continues from last Sunday, guys. I really am asking God to put love in my heart, to put love in my life for other people. Because naturally, I don't care that much about people. If I could choose, I just want to be on my own and don't bother about anybody else. And so I need to ask God to change me, because I'm not caring. I won't be a social worker. It looks to me like that works. I can't do it. So it's and I want to encourage you. God can do it. He did it for me. I'm still growing in it, but God can do it for you as well. We last night when we were together, I also believe that God just showed me, because we were all talking about we are not going out to share the gospel. We're not very well. We're not good doing that. And the thing is just that I want to leave with you guys, and then we should pray and be a blessing this week, is if our hearts is not in turmoil for those who are lost, what will drive us to go there and help them? What will take us there? And I believe the only thing that will take me there is my love for them. Only when I love them, it will become natural. It will become effortless. There will always be effort. Don't be deceived to think it will be afterhand all the way. But I think we should ask God continually until our hearts break for those who isn't. And even for the guys with us in church. It's not only those far away and those outside of the church, but our hearts should break for those in cell that is going through a tough time. We should reach out. We should ask God to have our hearts in their position. And it's difficult for us. We don't. It doesn't come natural for us. So we need to ask God to take us there. Thanks for the word that you shared with us. I will ask to put it on mail. We can send it out to the congregation. And please spend some time in it. Pray through it. We've got an expectation that God will use us to fulfill those words through this year and this coming year. Come, let's close our eyes and just ask God's blessing for this week coming. Father, thank you for this morning. And thank you, Lord, that every word that came this morning, Father, is necessary. Thank you, Father, that we can be excited about this coming week. Thank you, Father, that we can go out and know that we've got a message of hope, Lord. And if we look at our society, Father, I just see the need of hope or the lack of hope. There's no hope left with people, Father. And they have just made peace with unhealthy circumstances. They've made peace with second and third best. And Father, thank you that this morning you've encouraged us again. Thank you, Lord, that we can go out and each one of us is part of the puzzle. And nobody else can fill that spot. That you encourage this morning, Father, that everybody is valuable. Everybody is made specifically by you. And if we are made by the Creator of heaven and earth, surely we are important. Surely we are valuable. And thank you for that, Father. Lord, will you soak us with your love, Father? Will you give us compassion, Father, for our neighbor, for our wives, Lord, for our children, for the difficult teacher at school, Lord, for the difficult colleague at work, Lord? Give us compassion, Father. Father, will you bless everyone here, Lord, for this week? I pray, God, that we will have intimate, quiet time with you. That we will be filled, Father, with that love and glory that can only come from your presence, Lord, from no place else. I just want to share one more thing.